We're going to be thinking tonight, as I said earlier on Sunday, about sharing your faith, what that means, what that looks like, and we're going to come to that. And there is that famous verse, of course, in Proverbs chapter 11, which says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who winneth souls is wise." So we're thinking about winning souls, what it means to share your faith, and what that looks like in practice and so on. So let's just begin with a prayer before we come to God's word. Father, we thank you tonight for bringing us together. We thank you for the day that we have enjoyed, for our health and strength and being able to be here tonight. We thank you that we gather in this building. We thank you for the safety we have, that we can come here securely without worries or fears of bombs or bullets. And we do think tonight of those in Ukraine who have no such privileges. And we pray, Father, for the people there as we think of them at this terrible time of distress and suffering. But Father, as we come tonight to think about what it means to win souls, we pray that you will draw near to us and help us as we think. And as we approach this, we know that probably none of us feels very good at it, very confident at it. We need your help. And we pray, Father, that you will give us that help according to your will and your way. And help us, Father, we pray, to be concerned in our hearts to reach out, to share what we have been given, not to keep it to ourselves. And forgive us, Lord, when we have not spoken as we ought to have done. And forgive us, Lord, whenever we have not even attempted to do so. So be with us, Lord, now, tonight, we ask, and we commit this evening to you. We pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read just for a few moments from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and from verse 8. Down to verse 17. So 1 Peter chapter 3, and reading from verse 8. This is God's word. "Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? For even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Amen. So the verse there, just to give us a bit of a springboard, is verse 15. "But as the but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." So tonight I'm going to begin tonight just by what I hope will be a short series on our midweek Wednesday nights on sharing your faith. What does that mean? What does that look like? In practice, how does that work out? What will it cost you? And sharing your faith has all sorts of questions that go with it. And let me just tonight sort of remind you of a few verses like this one here. "In your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason that you, the hope that you have within you. There will be those times when people do ask you why you're a Christian or why you have a hope, why are you the way you are and not the same as everybody else. But let's be honest, those times don't come very often. They do come, but they don't come very often. Very often, we have to take the initiative. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And when Paul was speaking to Timothy, he said to Timothy, in season and out of season, do the work of an evangelist. There'll be times when it'll suit you. There'll be times when it won't suit you, but still share the faith. Share the faith. And yet, if we're honest, and I put my hand up tonight as well, we're often not very good at it. We know we should do it, but we're often not very good at it. You know the expression in the Old Testament, God's chosen people? Often it's the case, is it not? We are God's frozen people. We're frozen at the mouth. We know we should speak, but and we don't know what to say. We've lost the moment, and we kick ourselves and we say, next time I'll be ready. Next time I'll do better. But is it the case we are? Often isn't it the case that we fail the next time as well? A few weeks ago when we were in Belfast at the men's convention, Rico Tice was speaking, and in one of his books, and he's an evangelist, he's a full-time evangelist in London and All Souls Church. And in one of his books, he says, the problem with being an evangelist is that people assume you find evangelism easy. But he says, I don't find it easy, and I never have, but it has been joyful. And that's an interesting admission from someone paid to be a full-time evangelist. I don't find it easy, and never have. Someone else who would agree with that is the Apostle Paul. We think of Paul as the unstoppable apostle, preaching across the Mediterranean world, planting churches, seeing mass conversions and wonderful things happening. Yes, he got beaten from time to time, but hey, he saw so much blessing, it was great. But when Paul went to Corinth, the city of Corinth, a really one of the leading cities of the time, modern city, cutting-edge city, philosophies, religions, cultures, business world, all converging in a great melting pot of peoples. Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So, yes, Paul was the kind of pioneer evangelist, but he was also weak, trembling, fearful. So if we're talking tonight about sharing your faith, you maybe feel weak, fearful, trembling. The thought of it just fills you with dread. Well, that's what we're thinking about tonight. So what I want to do tonight is just give you three reasons why we don't and two reasons why we should share our faith. So that's what I'm going to do with you tonight. First of all, three reasons why we don't share our faith. First of all, because we just don't feel competent to do it. Oh, I haven't been to Bible college, so I leave it to the minister. That's his job, isn't it? I leave it to a missionary. That's their job. And yet you've only to think of what was said about Peter and John by the Jerusalem authorities in Acts chapter 4 when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they hadn't been to Bible college, hadn't been to college. But the authorities marveled and took knowledge of these men that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus is your qualification for sharing your faith. You don't have to go to Bible college or theological seminary. Those have their place, but just to be with Jesus, to know Jesus, to walk closely with him, then he will give you opportunities And the words to say as well, in sometimes those little situations that come along when we think we should say something, well, what should we say? We pray, Lord, just give me a wee word here. And he will, if we're looking for such opportunities. And yet so often the devil says, what right have you to say anything? You're not competent. You haven't been to Bible college. Just keep quiet in case they think you're a fool. Another reason why we struggle to share our faith, second reason, is because we're afraid of what people will say. They'll think I'm a nutter. They'll reject me. Every time I see them, it'll be so awkward after this. I'm afraid what sharing my faith will do to my relationship. And to some extent, those are genuine fears. You do want to keep the relationship open. You do want the channels to be still there. But there should come a time when we actually do think to ourselves, you know what, I have to say something here. Because it is the case, isn't it, in church, we sing the hymns, the big, bold hymns, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. And then we're talking to someone and we're like, I'm afraid to say anything. We sing the big songs, the big hymns. But then on Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Thursday night, wherever we are, we're just not so brave then as we ought to be. And so following the Lord means that we will take the opportunities that he gives us, even though we feel fearful. Paul was fearful, but we don't force the opportunities. There was nothing forced about Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus. You can force things and you can lose people by forcing them. Jesus was natural with the woman at the well. He was natural with Nicodemus. He spoke to them in different ways. He just didn't just jump at them and say, you know, where are you with God? There's maybe a time for that. But with the woman at the well, he talked about living water. With Nicodemus, he talked about being born again. He didn't speak the same to both. He said to Zacchaeus, come down, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Different approach again. And yes, there were people who went away. The rich young ruler, Jesus spoke with him. We're told he went away sad. He rejected Jesus. He went away sad because Jesus had told him something that he wasn't prepared to do, sell everything and follow him. And there will be those who walk away, but sharing your faith should be done even though you're afraid of what people will say. And there may be unpleasant consequences. But there may be pleasant consequences if people say, tell me more. Yes, I will come with you to church. What do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? And at least in some small way, you may be part of their journey to the Lord. It is because I believe nowadays we're living in such a secular world, people are ashamed or tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel increasingly, and in a sense, it's giving us even better opportunities for sharing our faith. But increasingly, the gospel is so different to anything the media and the world is selling us. I mean, we live in a world where we're all aware of so many religions. And yes, we should be tolerant of people who practice their religion and you know, people have their right to do so. But to say Jesus is the only way to God is petrol in the fire, isn't it, in today's world? What about all the Muslims? What about all the Jews? What about all the Hindus? What about all the Buddhists? Does that mean if you don't believe in Jesus that everybody's lost? Well, it wasn't you that says it or the Presbyterian Church in Ireland that says it. It's Jesus who said it. No man comes to the Father except through me. So you take your stand upon what God has said. It's not you saying it. You say it's what Jesus says. And people might say you're narrow-minded, but you know, as a pilot of an airplane, narrow-minded, when he has permission to land on a runway and he just goes for that one runway, would you say he's very narrow-minded, that pilot? There's another nice runway down the way. There's only one way to land that plane, and there's only one way to be saved. Or people say, well, you know, this stuff about the blood of Jesus, that's the only way to be forgiven. That's very Old Testament. But, I mean, Shakespeare in The Merchant of Venice, if you remember the story of Shylock wanting his pound of flesh, and no matter how he got it, by hook or by crook, he was going to get his money. He was going to get his pound of flesh. And there is a sense that when we sin against God, when we dishonor God, there is a payment for that that's necessary. In the Old Testament, it was the goat that was killed, or the sheep that was killed, or the dove that was killed. But there had to be the death of an animal. And in the New Testament, because of our God has been dishonored, there has to be the death, the bloodshed, in order for forgiveness to be provided. So this is not a foreign concept. It's one that we reduce the gospel to just ask Jesus to forgive your sins and that's it. Well, there is more to it than that. And there is this sense of our guilt being atoned for, this sense of our sins being paid for. And it goes against our modern world, which is just all fun and everything's easy and simple and just ask the Lord to forgive you. But there's more to it than that. The cross and the blood of Christ are necessary. And another thing people will say today, well, you don't really believe that one day everyone will be judged for how they've lived. Doesn't God just love us the way we are? Doesn't the Bible say, God so loved the world? Have you told the children the other week, Mr. Murray? So why should I have to change my lifestyle? Isn't God just a God of love? Well, he is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And if God just lets everybody into heaven, well, does Vladimir Putin get off with it? Does Adolf Hitler get off with it? Does the murderer get off with it? Does the bank robber get off with it? Does the abuser get off with it? When they die and they've never been caught? Or is there not natural justice crying out for justice to be done? So there is that sense of we're tempted to keep quiet. We're tempted to say nothing. And we're tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. So that's the third reason why we don't share our faith, because it's just so different to anything the world nowadays believes. So let me end tonight with three ways you should share your faith, and they're quite simple. First of all, love for Jesus Christ. And could there be any better reason? Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, just before he left earth to go to heaven, he said to the disciples, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be Presbyterians. Nope. And you shall be builders of churches and sets of halls. Nope. He didn't say you should be nice people and at all times just go around being nice. Well, some of those, all of those are necessary in one way. No, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You're to witness to me. You talk about me. To name me. To mention me in conversation. To let it be known that you belong to me. And there's no telling how the Lord will use it if you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know the name of John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan came to know the Lord, and there's a cool journey to it. He's actually written a book on how he came to know the Lord. But towards the end of that, there's a number of things happening in his life, but towards the end of the process, as he was coming to know the Lord, he was under conviction, and he heard some women standing talking, and he overheard their conversation. These were just ordinary women standing having a yarn over the garden gate sort of thing. And they were talking about the new birth, the work of God in the soul, how they'd been saved by God's grace through Christ. And Bunyan overheard the conversation. He wasn't part of the conversation. He overheard it. And later he was given a book, he read the book, and through the reading that book, light broke upon his soul. But ever afterwards, it was the conversation of those women, just ordinary working women talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not preaching a sermon, just talking about the Lord. And in the grace and providence of God, that brought him to the Lord. And I encourage you to name the Lord sometimes. You don't have to go into a whole theological conversation or a whole big sermon, just to name him. I mean, let's be honest, the world names Jesus an awful lot in the wrong way. So why are we ashamed to name him in the right way? So even to drop his name, oh, Jesus said this, or Jesus said that, or Jesus did this, or Jesus did, what do you mean? What did he do? And it gives you an opening just to talk about the Lord, to tell a story, to tell something that he did. And who knows how the Lord will use that in order to bring that person to yourself. So being a witness means talking about Jesus. If you're called in a court, if you see a car crash out there, let's say, and somebody has done something really wrong and you see it, you're called to court. You don't say to the judge, sir, I can't speak. You're not called to speak. You're just called to say what you saw. And a witness is someone who just says what they saw about Jesus or what they've heard about Jesus or what Jesus has done in their lives. And the last reason to share your faith is love for souls. Because there is a hell to avoid. And it's funny again, isn't it? I mean, increasingly it seems to be, you hear the word hell used as a swear word. Especially on sports programs and sports commentary, they use hell in the wrong way. And yet, if you preach the sermon on the subject of hell, they'd be so offended. I mean, if the Archbishop of Canterbury actually preached the sermon on hell, it would be the talk of the country. And yet it's disappeared from so many pulpits. But the person who spoke more about hell than anyone else was the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Souls are perishing. It's not that God sends them to hell, they choose hell themselves. And to Jesus, it was a reality. And to many people today, they say, I've had people say this to me, I'm going to hell, you know, because that's where all my mates are going. But in hell, there are no mates. People are isolated. They're cut off. They're in the dark. They're on their own. And Jesus spoke about it as a place of weeping, of gnashing, of teeth, of darkness. And he told the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. So if we love Christ, then we ought to love our neighbor and not want them to go to hell. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, for the love of Christ compels us. I mean, if they give a bridge down the road, let's say a night of heavy rain, the band swells and washes away the bridge, and you're the last car over. And coming towards you is a long stream of cars. I would like to think that you parked your car across the way or stood waving, driving into the van on a night of a high flood. You need to take radical action to save lives and to keep people safe. And sharing your faith is radical action in a dark world. You do it because you love the Lord. It's funny, isn't it? People, there's a new biscuit comes out and people are all talking about the new biscuit. There's a new chocolate bar come out. Did you see the new chocolate bar the other week? Potato, cheese, and onion chocolate. It's gross. We tried it. But people were talking about it. It was all over, maybe you liked it. It was all over social media, you know, this new chocolate bar. But we're good at talking about chocolate, biscuits, a TV program, or something like that. But how good really are we talking about the Lord, or even having the desire to do so? But if you love him, you ought to want to talk about him. It's like when a young couple fall in love, they just talk about each other. And they meet their friends, They just can't stop talking about him or can't stop talking about her. So three reasons we don't feel competent. We're afraid of what people will say. We're ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Even Paul was tempted to feel ashamed of the gospel. And two reasons we should is because of our love for Christ and our love for souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder of the importance of sharing our faith, that it might just be a simple word, it might be a sentence, it might be more, a paragraph. We don't know, Lord, but we just ask for opportunities to share our faith. We pray, Father, for opportunities to talk about Jesus. We pray, Father, that you will open doors for us, that we would not be your frozen people, but your chosen people. And that, Lord, we would tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord and all that you have done for us. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us, that we are called to be your witnesses, called to be lights in a dark world. How we live is important as well. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, in this coming week. It would be great to sit and next week share about how we took opportunities. And we pray, Father, that we would just do so in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name.